Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Danny Katz. Today, I am joined by Jason Kristoff. I have been hearing about Jason Kristoff for years, and I admittedly did not know much about his incredible body of work in terms of helping people safeguard themselves from mind control, putting together programs to help people escape self-sabotage and to safeguard themselves from all this external interference while resourcing them to thrive and optimize in their lives. So today's conversation, we go very, very, very deep into mind control, some of the intricacies, and of course, some solutions and how we can best safeguard our critical thinking, our subconscious minds, our sacred attention, and our sovereignty. Before we dive into today's conversation with Jason, I am reminding you to click that subscribe button, to like, to share, to comment, to leave me glowing reviews on any and all podcast platforms upon which you may be tuning into this show, as well as you have read any of my books, Pop Propaganda, The Language of Betterarchy, Word Up, and or Yes, I Am, a transformational coloring book for kiddos, grown-ups, and everyone in between, and you have gleaned any value from any of these books, thank you for navigating on over to Amazon and leaving me many glowing reviews there, or as many as they will let you, because those things really go a huge, huge way in moving the needles, in giving my book more visibility, where it can have a positive impact on more and more of us. Also reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at dannykatz.com. It's the very best way to ensure that we get to stay in touch. And Jason and I, after we finish recording, we're talking about my various courses. So I'd love to put on your radar my Language of Sovereign Authority course, which is a perfect companion piece to Jason's body of work, present tense, because the Language of Sovereign Authority teaches us how to safeguard our subconscious mind, our sovereign agency, our inner authority with our every word. Remembering, you know, Jason says repetitive content is the number one tool of the mind controllers. I say the repetition of language is the number one tool for controlling and taking hold of our mind. So we're really pretty much saying the same thing. So in addition to Jason's body of work, I do want to let you know that I have a phenomenal webinar called The Language of Sovereign Authority, which is a 3-hour webinar available for instant lifetime access right now at dannykatz.com, and it will give you very tangible languaging upgrades that will allow us to shift our internal frequency to that of empowerment, agency, and what I call unfuckwithable authority with our every word. All right, that does it for housekeeping. Buckle up and prepare to enjoy my conversation with Jason Kristoff. Jason Kristoff, how are you? Nice to see you.
Thanks, Danny. Good to see you. And I was going over your website before I got on today, and I love what you're doing with the propaganda for the kids as well, or the quantum. There's a quantum program on there as well that looked really interesting. Quantum language, potentially. I thought that was great.
Yes, awesome. Thank you. Thanks for checking it out. I've written two books on quantum languaging, and then of course, yes, educating our kids on propaganda to safeguard them from mind control, which is your realm of expertise.
Yeah, I've researched it for a while. And basically with my research, it's similar to other people's research. Mm-hmm. I just try to synthesize it down so it's not boring and try to use real life examples. Or when I, you know, do a presentation, I'll try to use real life videos so that people become interested in it, because I think it's the most important aspect of trying to unwind ourselves out of the situation that we're currently entangled in.
You and I are both in agreement there, and I'm curious to know how it is that you came to realize mind control is one of the biggest challenges we're facing as a collective.
Yeah, well, I used to own a small chain of fitness clubs, and I went to the Czech Institute of Paul Czech runs that in San Diego, California. And I got certified to train people like with exercise and diet and treat them in that way. And when I would they would hire me, they'd have a hard time getting better like at all. So I was really curious as to why would anybody pay money and come stand with me for an hour, and they insist that I make their diet and their exercise program, and then they wouldn't follow through. And it was so frequent. It was like almost every single client I had the same patterns of failure and stuckness. And I just couldn't figure it out. So the Czech Institute said, well, we do teach this, but if you're not coming back anytime soon, look into mind control and mimetic programming. Basically, the Czech Institute said, look, it's group dynamics. If people live in an overweight tribe, it's actually dangerous neurologically to be thin. And if you're from a poor tribe, it's dangerous neurologically to be wealthy. And I said, what? That doesn't make any sense to me. And they said, well, welcome to the subconscious mind. It rarely makes any sense because it's not trying to make sense, it's trying to find safety. And safety protocol is different than rational or logical thought. So I started looking into it and I said, well, this is the reason everybody fails. This is the reason everybody stumbles in life. This is the reason smokers can't stop smoking and drinkers can't stop drinking and cheaters can't stop cheating, although they verbally declare they want to. And then when I looked out at all the world I was in, and I was a big vaccine researcher before I became like a mind control researcher, and I would give mass presentations on vaccination, and I would ask the same question: why are these parents going in and doing these things to their kids and not even reading the vaccine insert? Because the vaccine insert says this device can injure or kill your child, and why would they not care about that? And then I had my answer that mind control, basically group dynamics is about fitting in and the child be damned. And this sort of safety-seeking mechanism in human neurology is standard equipment on the human body. And so if we don't get taught how to recognize this process, where we're following the tribe right into the sacrificial volcano, simply because the person in front of us is doing exactly that, then we'll just, we'll step into one bucket of poop in our life and quickly jump out into two more buckets of poop. And if you look at the world today, I think about 80% of the people are caught in this cycle where they're doing stuff that is illogical and irrational, hurting themselves, hurting their community, hurting their children. And they don't know about this very loving part of the mind that can be hacked really easily by mind control experts to basically, throw you in the sacrificial volcano by your own hand. And you wouldn't even know why you're doing it, you would just do it.
So much there. I'm taking notes. May I ask what got you interested in vaccinations and what year that was?
Oh, that was probably 25 years ago, I would say, for vaccinations. Basically, it was just something I just started. I had a lot of heroes in the Truth and Freedom movement, like Meryl Nass and Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And I was early students of them when they were much younger, like 25 years ago, especially Dr. Russell Blaylock. To me, he spoke a lot of sense and he was logical and rational and would present things in a way that were easy to understand. And I mean, even at 26 years old, I took a flu shot and almost died, and that still didn't wake me up. If you could imagine that, myself taking a flu shot and almost dying. And I was literally almost dead because I did call my lawyer to my bedside and made my first will and testament because I had opened a business at 24. It was worth about $1.5 million. And so I was gonna bequeath it to my mother. That's how sick I was. So
Wow.
literally almost dead. Yeah.
Did you read Neil Miller's books around that
Yeah,
time?
yeah.
Yeah.
His were a little later. It might have been 10 years after I
Okay.
started. His was like an A to Z compilation research studies. I remember, Neil, of all the studies that prove that these injections are bad. But when you understand mind control, coming forward with those, that's your assumption. That's what every truth teller starts at first with, is if I just show the public that vaccines are unhealthy and unproven, then they'll change their mind. And when you understand mind control, that's not going to happen with most people. It's because the part of the brain that's being activated in vaccination is the herd protection mechanism, not the logical and rational prefrontal cortex. It's more of an ancient people pleaser, follow the herd, group pressure dynamic part of our neurology that's getting triggered with things that if you come across something in our society where you might describe it as that's the way we do it around here, or that's the way we've always done it.
Right.
If you challenge that, there's a huge neurological pushback simply because your conditioning equates, what the society is doing with the bigger group. Now, if you challenge that, you're challenging the bigger group as someone in the smaller group. And it's this dynamic in our own primal neurology that forces our hand in many situations to do things against our genetic self-preservation mechanism. Like injecting poison into your own child or your own self is illogical and irrational, but there's this part of the brain that doesn't care about safety. It just wants to fit in. And there's ways to like turn that part of the brain up. We're supposed to lose that people-pleasing, I want to be everybody's friend part of the brain when we're about 14. But there are tricks where you can extend it far into adulthood where people are making decisions in their life like they're still in the grade 5 schoolyard. And that's part of the dark mind control as well in our society, unfortunately. To extend the childhood all the way to the grave is sort of part and parcel of mind control in our modern world.
I'm really happy to have this time with you to get to like slowly parse this out. And I'm definitely intrigued by the idea of extending that adolescent mind. What's popping to mind is like the gene keys and breaking down these 7-year cycles of emotional development. But I want to go back to vaccination. Neil Miller's a friend of mine. We've been racquetball partners
No, awesome.
for many years. So as someone like I'm a journalist, so I've been what they try to demonize as a conspiracy theorist for a good 25 years, and I just go back to like, no, I'm really just a good journalist. But I notice with the vaccines, there's what we call mind control, there's what we call groupthink. There are the various levels of development of consciousness, as Claire Graves talks about in Spiral Dynamics, right? So it's for me, and I'm so happy to have you here as an expert, it's like, well, what's someone's authentic level of consciousness where they're still in that blue level of deferring to external authority and they haven't really cultivated their own inner authority, which is appropriate for where they are in their stage of development. And then I've also noticed in parents, I myself am not a parent, but I've noticed the denial mechanism in mothers around the idea that they might have hurt their child, unwittingly though it may be, is very pronounced. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
the parents who injected their children with genocide or even the MMR, or even these days, the parents who transitioned their young children, like how strong is that denial mechanism going to be in the face of, oh, maybe that was even more harmful. So how are you parsing out like what is authentic interference by way of the social engineers or the predator class? What's where we're authentically at in the ongoing evolution of our consciousness? Where is that I'm a mother and there's no way I'm going to be able to live with myself if I face what I did to my child? Like, where are you differentiating between those?
Well, I think at the front end, a lot of the mind control, a good majority of it is the repetitive content. Mm-hmm. So we're told by Time Magazine and all the movies we watch, and this is where the big mind control push is that there's a part of our brain called the subconscious that does count for those repetitive messages. Mm-hmm. And it's obsessed with looking over the environment and seeing what the repetitive messages are. So although as a human being, we're not going to realize too much that a Time Magazine in a waiting room said that vaccines were safe and effective 17 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then maybe 10 years ago, we watched I Am Legend with Will Smith, and he's in New York City trying to develop a injection to turn all the zombies back to human beings and or some kind of vaccination. And then we watch the movie Contagion, and then we see something in Reader's Digest about vaccination, and then we go to school and there's a vaccine clinic in the gymnasium and we're told that the government's on our side and that would never do anything to hurt us. The average person doesn't know that if you want to know the ultimate data machine, it's our subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. I assume a lot of what they have in the world today is being derived from our natural, the way we work. So there's this data mining function of our subconscious, remembering every millisecond of our entire life. And talk about it, analyzing that data, it analyzes it for repetitive content. And the reason it does that is because it wants to know what most people are doing, what most people are thinking, what's the most popular shoe, what's the most popular purse, you know, should I get breast implants? Well, if you see the majority of people on the screen with breast implants, your subconscious thinks the bigger tribe is breast implants, and you'll be neurologically driven there. So basically, the theme that vaccines are safe and effective and the greatest invention in the medical system, or one of them, is a theme that you've downloaded thousands of times outside your conscious awareness. And this is what's pushing a mother to basically go in and partake in this ritual. Now, once the child is injured or once the ritual has been completed, which is very powerful in mind control, it's like called a walkthrough. Mm-hmm. So walkthroughs are extremely important to like facilitate various nerve bundles, so that the law of facilitation is if you can facilitate a nerve bundle or a nerve pathway once, it's easier to facilitate over and over and over again. And it's like basically paving a road, like, you know, it's a dirt road, then it's a gravel road, then it's a paved road. So walking a mother through that first time to bring their child in for this sacrificial ritual makes it easier for them to bring in the second and the third time. Now, at that point, I do believe in base human neurology, the average human doesn't like to admit they've made a mistake.
Right.
It's very uncomfortable, especially when you're being also taught to understand that you're supposed to protect the child to the nth degree. So if you're ever faced with the information that not only did you protect the child, you didn't protect the child, you were tricked using psychological manipulation by a force that you don't even think exists, which is spiritual evil. So now, you know, because this is what really we're talking about is some sort of spiritual evil overlay over our society, controlling humans and, you know, through in invisible ways. So you have a lot to face. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it is the unknown. And when you come toward any human with something they know nothing about, they're more prone to want to go back to something they know, something that they're familiar with, because it's more comfortable. Mm-hmm. So the average mother or father, unfortunately, they don't want to admit that their decisions are inverted, that they've been tricked in a fully 180-degree way to hurt themselves, to hurt their children. And you can even see this today with a little bit of mental instability that we see out in social media at the present time, where, you know, RFK and DJT came out and said the Tylenol is linked to autism. So we have a lot of people out there with autistic kids or even pregnant have been downing half bottles of Tylenol and actually killing themselves. This is... I know. So sometimes it's easier to go all in, right? Than right. to look yourself in the, you know, you push all the chips across on that poker table and say, or, you know, blackjack or whatever it is, in for a dime, in for a dollar. And there's actually people going back to get multiple COVID injections at this point in time, also to prove RFK wrong in some of his statements, of course. So humans, yes, are naturally illogical. And sometimes if they don't have that bandwidth, the consciousness bandwidth to do, you know, go through the dark night of the soul and dive a little deeper into that introspection with some very hard to handle questions like, did I get tricked to inject poison into my own child? Did I get a trick to inject poison into myself? Am I voting for pedophiles to steal my money? Am I voting for satanic pedophiles to steal my money? These are, you know, when I go to the voting booth every 4 years, these are questions most people are too uncomfortable to ask themselves. So I think the first volley or barrage attack against the human is repetitive content in media and government school curriculum or government announcements. And then after that, sort of the natural human stubbornness comes into play as well.
Mm-hmm. Were you hip to these things as a kid? Were you at some point susceptible to repetitive content, finding yourself under mind control? I mean, I know you said you took the flu shot, but or were you more rebellious and contrarian and tended to push back?
I wouldn't even dare try to categorize myself as a child. I was completely out of control. I was a lunatic. For lack of a better word, I was heavily polluted. My parents vaccinated me. I was a very fussy eater. I would just eat chocolate and sugar and peanut butter sandwiches. And my brain, I can't imagine I was using more than 1% of my brain for most of my life. Mm-hmm. And that changed gradually over time. But I was... yeah, I was definitely a sucker for a group safety when I was a child, because the thing about mind control, it works better on weak people and poisoned people, because when it comes to mind control, it's kind of like, do you go with the herd or do you stand your ground and potentially get ready for some kind of conflict, maybe even a physical attack? Now, the reason poisoned people are more prone, basically poisoned people are weaker. And weaker animals need the group more than strong animals. So I was always trying to, as a child, I was always trying to do anything to be accepted into the group, because I was so weak physically and nutritionally. And it's only by chance that I went to the Czech Institute and straightened myself out to start developing some foundational power in my own body and in my own life where I could stand my ground and have some kind of confidence that I could stand against a financial or physical or mental or emotional attack.
Why do you think it is that some kids who are exposed to repetitive content, crappy processed food, are not susceptible to I don't know about mind control, but groupthink, and really want nothing to do with what the herd is doing?
You know, if you go to Aldous Huxley and other people, they're always stuck on the percentage of people that won't fall for the mind control in the 25 to 30% range. Is sort of, you, if a psychologist is asked, it's usually 25 to 30% of people won't fall for it. I don't know if they know. Mm-hmm. I bet they'd like to know. And I bet the data mining can tell them. That's another reason I think they data mine, because they don't really know. But so, I mean, for me, sometimes I think pain has to do with it, where people have experienced so much pain as children. There was a day, I mean, you know, my upbringing was violent in many ways. And there was a point where I had to stand my ground or I was probably going to die. And once I did that walkthrough where I said, I'm not going to get physically abused anymore, and I stood my ground, I said to myself, I would rather die than do that. I would rather die right now than put up with this abuse. And it was that, you know, it was that level of abuse that triggered that walkthrough where it made it easier for me to stand my ground in the future. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of other truthers that stand their ground, sometimes they forget what got them to that level of strength where no matter what the tribe tells them, they just always have their, you know, the middle finger in the air and say, come and get me. And they're like little savage werewolves if you try to go near them. I think some people forget that maybe they endured so much pain in their childhood, which is easy to do down here on Planet Mental Asylum, because the place is a mental asylum. So I think some of that 25 or 30% was triggered where somewhere in the youth, they did a walkthrough and said, I'm not doing this abuse stuff anymore. Come get me. I'd rather die than put up with your nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that totally resonates. You use the phrase walkthrough to reference your, that like wall you hit where you're like, that's enough. But then you also mentioned walkthrough as far as a technique the mind controllers are using. So can you kind of unpack that phrase for us?
Well, trying to think of basically, let's take voting. They've walked you through so many times. You think it's legitimate for another human just like you to have powers that you don't have, right? Because the way the law works is that, I mean, I don't have the right to go to your house and tell you I'm a government representative and go into your wallet and take half of your income. So if I'm not allowed to do that as an individual, how does two individuals get to decide that and take those powers on themselves where it's illegal for them to do it as two separate people? But again, if you can get people repetitively, like it's like an energetic wheel, this law facilitation, where every 4 years they're out, they vote, they sit down, they get ruled. They're out, they vote, they sit down, they get ruled. You can walk them through this disempowering cycle where it's so facilitated, they would not even have the ability to consider ruling themselves or bossing themselves around for the rest of their life. As Michael Tesserian said, most people only want freedom from freedom. that's what they want. I thought that was a great quote. We've gotten so, like, even the school, they walk you through daily for, say, 10 or 12 years, where you're going to do something that you don't enjoy for 6 or 7 hours a day. Now, they walk you through so often as a child, you expect your day to suck shit.
Right.
You expect to do stuff that you don't enjoy, which is why they're doing the walkthrough for you in the first place, so that when you're done all these days of not enjoying 8 hours of your life, you can go into the business world and not enjoy it there and not even rebel. And there's a real other dangerous walkthrough that they do, which again, it's just the facilitation. It's just like this paved neurological road where you don't even know anything different if it gets paved so smoothly. So at the end of the school day, where no one's telling you what to do, which again, they're conditioning you, the school tells you what to do. You don't like going there at all, but you go anyway. And then it prepares you for the work, the job where someone's going to tell you what to do and you don't like going. When that person exits, when the teacher exits or the boss exits, you've been facilitated in such a strong way where someone told you what to do, you don't know how to tell yourself what to do when you leave the job or leave the school. So I call that the screw around part of the day. That also becomes super facilitated, where I got lots of clients or students, because I have a school, and they don't like the job they got because, and they're in it and they don't know why. This is part of the self-sabotage, mind control aspect. They're like, why am I doing this? Well, because it's so repetitive, you don't really know what anything else to do. When they're done the job, and I say, now it's the time. Okay, 5 o'clock, let's go put 45 minutes into your business plan. Well, now I'm up again against a secondary program where they're not used to ruling their own lives or running their own affairs. So it's called the screw around time. All they want to do is shop, watch TV, watch some pornography, drink some wine, laugh and giggle, push each other into the bushes. So, I mean, that's a walkthrough that they got you for 12 years. Go do stuff you don't like doing, have someone boss you around. You have no goals of your own. And then when you exit, even though you have free time, all you do is screw around and waste your time.
Right.
So you're never going to get out of that cycle. So I hope that makes people a bit more knowledgeable on this walkthrough. And they can walk you through on many, many different things. And you won't even notice, even driving to work, listening to music. I mean, you get so used to entertaining yourself outside work. Have you ever noticed there's no radio station that teaches you how to open your own business on the way to work?
Right. Right. Yeah. I teach my pop propaganda students to that lyrics are mantras and like to pay attention to the repetitive words and phrases and idea that are being implanted into their brains by way of pop music. And it's so great because when they bring in their favorite songs and we unpack their lyrics, they see it so clearly. It's like, oh, this is black magic.
Absolutely. And we do that too. And you can remember the song by Beck, I'm a loser baby, so why don't you kill me? And or Suicide Squad, it was a movie, not a song, but Suicide Blonde was a song by NXS. And there was a time where there was a lot of around the time Suicide Squad came out, suicides actually increased in a statistically significant way. And there was lots of parents reporting some of their kids' technology, when they were leaving the kids alone with the cartoons and some of their tech, that the tech was telling them to kill themselves. And yeah, I did reports on that 15 years ago. I actually have the videos of the parents recording the tech telling the toddlers to kill themselves or the young children. Yeah. So you have to be, you have to be really careful. Now, when you tell a child to do that, I mean, you know as well as I do, is that the 7 year cycles of the brain development. You tell a child below seven, they kind of process everything as commands. So, I mean, if you're have a kid in school, and say there's a transgender push inside the school, and in Canada right now, there's school districts where they take 5 year olds and the teachers are instructed to say, "Do you feel like a girl or a boy today?" Right?
Oh.
At 5 years old. And so if you walked in as a parent, I can tell people you have no idea, even as an awakened parent, how your 5 year old child is processing that information.
Yeah.
They're processing it as a command. Because it's scary enough to be, and this is also part of the mind control system of school, is the strength to say no of a child is when they say no and they get behind their parent and look out, like from behind the apron or behind your dad's big leg, and say, "No, I'm not doing that." When you separate child from parent, the child knows I'm vulnerable. I cannot defend myself. I'm not a good fighter. I don't have an interact card. I can't get in an Uber and escape. The only thing they can do is compliance to get along,
Yeah.
to defend themselves. All they got is compliance. So there's so many dark aspects to the brainwashing, the mind control, the propaganda that's going on today. And if you listen to myself and people like you and do your courses, people can pick up enough to see and recognize these very dangerous trends that are obvious in the music. They're obvious in the movies, the TV shows. I mean, even at the gym, I try to hardwire it. These are hardwired, by the way, not the, I don't want to irradiate my
Bluetooth.
brain with the Bluetooth, but I can, say I'm in the change room and I'm taking things off, and I can hear. I mean, a song today was this girl's song about 20 years ago. It says, "I crashed my car into the bridge. I don't care. I love it." That song, it's called "I Don't Care. I Crashed My Car Into the Bridge. I Love It." And the average parent has no one knows. Like,
Right.
no one understands the research. In conjunction with how the human brain works, you don't want to be listening to anything like that, because the subconscious is the ultimate data miner. It's not going to forget any nuance or line or word in that song, and then it'll analyze the general theme of what's inside the data mine, inside the data area. And then it will extrapolate your behavior and force you to act it out. The behavior it forces you to act it out is the primary themes that it finds, the most repetitive themes. And the reason it's data mining for the most repetitive themes, because it wants to know how you should act to fit in. So if you're taking in all this dark nonsense and violence-based nonsense, this is the personality that your subconscious will manufacture and force you to act out. And that's, I mean, if I'm a ruler and I'm a controller of the society and I know all this, it's easier to rule you if you're an absolute mess. You drink, you smoke, you vape, you waste your time, you got a job you don't like. And you're unorganized, you can't even run your own day. I mean, if you can't even control what you put in your mouth, how can you control the rest of your life? And that's why all this mind control is in play, just so that people know they don't care if you drink or smoke or masturbate or vape or do cocaine, or as long as you're messy,
Right.
as long as you're disempowered. As long as you pick up some of the programming that they're laying down, some people pick all of it up, some people pick up a little bit. But if you're a smoker drinker, they love it. If you're a wine mom, they love it. if you're a vapor or you think marijuana is medicine, they love it, right? Yeah. They love it. They absolutely love it.
Yeah. There was so much there. And I want to acknowledge the Beck Loser song, because I've used that example myself. I saw Beck play live in 2019, and I'm such a huge Beck fan. And at that point, being aware as I am of the power of language, Loser was the song that he had everyone singing together at the same time in a giant ritual, repeating the chorus over and over again. And I thought, well, I'm here, I want to participate, but there's no way I'm going to say that to myself. And so I changed the lyrics to "I'm a winner, baby, so why don't you love me?" Totally corny, but it allowed me to participate and program myself in a way that I wanted to be programmed.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And there's like quantum field theory that's involved in this as well. If you go to a concert and you, like, say it's in a stadium, an open stadium, if you look down, it looks like a big speaker.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing about quantum field theory. It's you can actually see this in a very enjoyable way. If you go to Alex Zek's podcast, and he interviews this lady called Veda Austin.
I know Veda.
Right. So, she has objects and she basically works with water. So the water is sort of the, not the conduit, but the receptacle of invisible vibrations from everything.
Yep.
And so what Veda would do is get a nice egg that's made perfectly by nature and God and put it near water. Pretty boring stuff, so it sounds anyway. And then she'd freeze the water. And then she'd put like eggs that weren't very healthy near water. And then she'd freeze that water too. And she has her own way she does it. It's not just freezing. She has it at a certain temperature so that she can have a great look at what she's looking for. And there's a huge difference. There's a lot of coherence, she calls it, sort of geometric coherence in the healthy egg and, you know, the unhealthy egg that was like factory farmed and the chickens were treated like garbage and fed garbage. There's all kinds of incoherence. Like it's not a beautiful freezing objects that are in the water. And what Veda did as well is she actually took the great egg, the healthy creator God egg, I call it, and put it next to the unhealthy egg, and then put the unhealthy egg near the water. And you could see that the unhealthy egg was in the vibrational field, the quantum field of the healthy egg, and it changed the disastrous vibration of the crappy egg to one that's beautiful.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So what, and she did that with one good egg in the middle too, and surrounded by 12 crappy eggs. And there was enough power, vibrational, invisible Wi-Fi power emanating out of the beautiful egg to change all 12.
Wow.
Of the crappy eggs, right? So what I'm trying to say is these rituals where Beck is singing, the vibration goes a lot farther than the people that are watching. And if you talk to Paul Check, he will tell you that the vibration of anything travels around the world 7 times a second. So when we have these Sam Smith concerts and the like, where these people are just trying to regain their safety and get as much money as possible. I'm sure Sam Smith doesn't know that the more demonic, he knows that the more demonic act he puts on, the more gigs he gets booked for. But the quantum field theory of why the controllers are doing this probably lost on someone like Sam Smith or Beck, because it vibrates out. So you don't have to be at the Sam Smith concert. There was one here in Latvia 2 years ago. I don't have to be there. His vibration is washing over me anyway. Right. And so all these, it would appear that the controllers in these ancient ruling families, and I have a whole list, I have a whole document trying to prove who they are. I have a whole article on that because people will say, well, who are they, Jason? Well,
Who
I
are
wrote a
they,
whole,
Jason?
well, they're people that probably started out just observing the world and knew about these invisible forces, these spiritual forces, and then they made a science society that ignores the spiritual aspects. Like, we know nothing about this vibrational aspect that Veda Austin has researched, but Masaru Emoto, the Japanese researcher, already did the same experiments, is that words and objects all give off vibrations equal to sort of the intent of whatever we're talking about. So I give off a vibration in a room, you give off a vibration in a room. And because you were at the Beck concert singing, I'm a winner, baby. So why don't you, what was it? So why don't you
Why do
love
you love
me?
me?
So why don't you love me? You were probably, having a positive vibrational impact over everybody. And the only way to any human to have stumbled across this vibrational impact was to be in the winter zones. That was probably the, and you can see a lot of the knowledge is coming down from a lot of the places where water did freeze. And I think eventually it became obvious that everything around here, everything in our realm is vibrational in a way. And so back to the mind control, if I make you watch John Wick 1 through 5, what do you think you're vibrating? You think you're vibrating something positive for your household, your plants, the people around you, your place at work, or are you vibrating something negative? And I would bet $100,000 in Las Vegas that the people who are, handcrafting this so very dark social engineering are well aware of these principles.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I've seen such a marked difference in the programming coming through our screens, especially in the last maybe 10, 20 years. And it's not to say it was super positive when we were children, but in terms of dark, scary, creepy, graphic, apocalyptic, existential threat, like those narratives are so amplified right now. And I know you touched on it that, like, once a potentiality is activated, right? Now the brain knows, oh, that's possible, right? So I'm thinking back to, like, allegedly the indigenous people didn't see Christopher Columbus's ships approaching from the horizon because they'd never seen ships before. They didn't have a word or a name or a concept for ships, so the mind actually couldn't see them. So it feels like exceptionally dangerous that these potentialities are being programmed into people's minds and thus activating, oh, that horrible thing's possible, that horrible thing's possible. Do you think that the negative bias that marks so many of our brains is natural or is something that we've been conditioned into?
I've seen simple experiments on shows that are quite fascinating where you could get a lot of education. But there was a show, like a, it was, I went on for about 5 seasons. It was called Brain Games. I think it was called Brain Games. And they did have experiments where they would flash pictures up onto a screen. I think it was like every third of a second. And our brains are actually calibrated. The people, there were so many different images, but the only images that I remember or that anybody could remember was like a snake or a spider. But there was like keys and belts and shoes. So we do have this propensity to spot danger first and really focus in on it. And the brain really slows down because it had, I mean, this is the only way we're surviving. But of course, this ancient group knows our psychology. And although the part of the brain that's seeing this, the snake and the spider, is trying to love us to safety, that those loving protection mechanisms can be weaponized against us. And again, one of the natural protection mechanisms that love us is the counting for repetitive content and then forcing us outside our conscious awareness to adopt the repetitive content as our own so that we can fit in and say, oh, you're a Montreal Canadiens fan. So am I. Look, I wear the same jersey as you. That's how we go along to get along. But if you're an ancient mind control expert and you want to dominate humanity, you don't teach them any of that, but you certainly control the themes that you get in the movies. So, I mean, if you take Titanic as one theme, you see rich people are jackasses, right? Right? And then if you go to Liam Neeson's movie Taken, rich people are weak and they're also evil and they're pedophiles. And then if you were to go to Liam Neeson's, he had another movie where he was a rancher, just lost his house. But again, rich people were hunting him down. Or if you go to the movie The Equalizer, not every movie I'm talking about, not only are the rich people framed as bad people, the poor person with the mundane job is framed as more noble and always walking the higher moral ground. Jack Dawson, The Equalizer, or even like someone like John Wick. It's always the person who's struggling and having a hard time. They're the hero. And if you have money, you're an instant prick or an asshole. Now, you only have to watch two imprints of similar imprints or be exposed to two, exposures of similar ideas for your subconscious to change your behavior. And there's it's just a constant theme in all film. Rich people are bad, poor people are noble, they walk the higher moral ground, they're the real hero. So the subconscious is like, I don't want to have any money ever, ever. And so, you saw the detriment of that. And the reason they're putting that into the collective subconscious is like in 2020, they said, you either take the jab or we're going to fire you. So if you combine that programming with that attack, well, that person probably doesn't have $1 million in savings because they've been programmed to think money is evil. And even the Bible and the money is the root of all evil. And there is a legitimate argument for that. But again, it does factor in on people being sort of abundance adverse. That's just one of the programs.
How are you differentiating between conditioning, programming, hypnotism, mind control? That does it for the first half of today's rollicking podcast conversation with Jason Kristoff, who, when we signed off, told me that's the craziest podcast interview I've ever done. So, as you want to find out what about our podcast conversation could be even crazier than what you've already heard, do navigate on over to my Locals and/or Patreon communities to tune in to the second half of this conversation with Jason, as well as all of my second half podcast conversations. Those addresses are dannycats.locals.com and patreon.com/dannycats at both communities for as little as $5 a month, less than a cup of chamomile tea, because as we are learning from Jason, caffeine is not our friend. So for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half conversations, plus oodles of bonus content. So choose whichever platform feels most aligned for you, or choose both because abundance rocks, as do you. Last reminder to sign up for my newsletter at dannycats.com. Last bit of gratitude for liking and sharing this podcast, for subscribing to my Odyssey channel and to my podcast on whatever audio podcast platform you are listening on. Big shout out and love to Progressive Radio Network for sharing this show with our lovely Progressive Radio Network tribe. All right, that does it. Thank you so much for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. I will see you over on the Locals and the Patreon. Have a rockin' day.